Welcome to Goals Question Time, where I interview leading executives driving innovation, venturing, and strategic change.
So today I've got the pleasure of being joined by Alan Gormley, who's the CEO and founder of Shopbox AI. Hi, Alan.
Hi, Andrew. Lovely to be here.
Great to have you with us. We're going to be seeing you at the AI for Business Summit at Henley on the 28th of September. So great to get an introduction to you before that. So could you kick off giving us a bit of an introduction to you and Shopbox, please?
Yeah. Thanks very much, Andrew. So I've been knocking around the AI industry for a long time now, for about 23 years. As I like to say to people, 20 very, very lonely years, but it's become very exciting in the last three. So most of that time I've spent working across what we call customer experience. So really using data and AI to understand and to help customers. And we set Shopbox up from that premise. So we founded the company just over 3 years ago, just around the time the start of pandemic, which is a very exciting time to start. Yeah. Business. Exciting is not always a good word, by the way. But we managed to get traction very quickly and get some really early proof points. And we've been building out our vision ever since. So, 3 years on, we're over 70 customers.
And in terms of what's different with Shopbox and retail AI, as opposed to what we see on websites with normal sort of retail sort of .com-y type things now, what's the differentiator? Yeah.
I think the real thing for us is our entire ethos is we got to put the customer at the center of the store. That's it. So if I look at what's going on out there at the moment, you've got Amazon do an excellent job at that. And you have other people in other industries like Netflix do an excellent job of that. Whereas I think most retailers are doing simple recommendations that, to be honest, are they don't achieve an awful lot. Okay, so we look at it and we said everything is about listening to the customer, not pushing products on customer. So if you look at a lot of what the traditional personalization, which I'm not a big fan of out there, you see it's actually merchandisers trying to push product as opposed to, you know what, we've curated really good product. Maybe it's time to listen to the customer. So for us, it's about from the second somebody lands on the store, starting to understand that customer and build a store of one for that customer. So we call it a unique store for every customer. And that's really the ethos in everything we do is, how do you make it just about them?
Yeah, no, great. And I think the insights we're going to see from you and at the summit is going to be about how do we change the business model in industries, whether it's yours or travel or production or sort of stuff like that. So that's fantastic. And what's been your journey over the last, 3 years in founding the business? You know, when did you start? What sort of investors?
I guess we started about 5 years ago with some of the initial ideas and just trying to understand what would work and what wouldn't work. Some really good early interviews with some pretty large retailers who gave us good insights and also sent us back to the drawing board more than once. But one of those was a pivotal meeting which really sent us back to the drawing board and started us thinking completely differently about e-commerce. And that's led to everything at this point. We took a very early decision that we would sell as we were developing. So we wanted to have a good first product, but we wanted to start selling it straight away because this is all about data. This is all about understanding. And what we felt was a lot of companies go dark and they come out with a product and it's like, ta-da.
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
So it's allowed us to be very, very rapid. And we only took on a small number of customers in the first few months. And then we took on a few more the next year, really to figure out which sectors it would work well in. And we got some really good results there. And then last year is when we really started to say, okay, now is the time to start moving. So last year, we kind of filled out some really interesting new concepts in the product that aren't really out there in the world anymore, or weren't out there at the time, but they are now. We're about 70 customers. Really solidified that. And now we've just started bringing in, the full sales team and starting to push out into the market much more strongly. So, so it's been a really interesting 3 years where everything's experiment, try, prove, all the usual things we have to do as startups.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. And that from the startup point of view, because I know as an angel investor and also being sort of partly sort of a co-founder and founder of some businesses, it's really important. Get out there first, get that validation, get some initial customers and then build the thing that they, you know, they're going to start paying for and what they want, not coming to something after. And it's like, oh, well, we're not going to use lots of the features or lots of the things you spent all your time.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's
fantastic insight.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in terms of who are the people sort of within your venture?
Yeah, so the team's more or less 50-50 between business and technology. We've kept that balance pretty much from the first day. So we've got all the major functions there, from sales, customer success, marketing on the business side, to the usual development functions on the dev side. I think we've made sure that AI is its own function, because I think there's a lot of engineering that's required, and but there's also a lot of creativity in AI. And we're not trying to reproduce what's out there. I need people thinking differently. I need them thinking about retail first and AI second. And this, it's one of the biggest issues you have in our industry is people, there's a lot of hammers and everything's a nail, you know, and it's not that simple. We're trying to figure out more about the friction points in shopping rather than, you know, the usual product recommendation stuff. So you need a different structure. You need a different way of, you need people to think slightly differently. And engineering is bringing alive something that was an idea in somebody else's head. So that's why we've kind of split it up that way. So I'd say we'd be fairly typical for a startup at our stage, with just the balance between business and the technical side of things.
And the technical side, how deep into AI do you go? Or is this sort of off the shelf and API sort of type things? What's the balance? Because different startups now are coming in from, oh, we've got to be really techie. And I have a challenge of, what's the balance between leave the big boys, the open AIs and the Googles, do some stuff, because I can't compete with them in some of that infrastructure area. And as you say, it's about, how do I apply it to an industry? What do you feel your balance is in that?
So I think the thing for us is, if you, we go really, really deep in what we do, but we don't do anything else. So we made an early decision that we could be a generic tool that anybody could use, and then we'd be fairly mediocre at everything we did. And I think there's a lot of tools out there like that. So we said, no, we're going to concentrate on one industry. And I've had so many people, investors especially, say, oh, why don't you do it in travel? I go, because we won't have the level of depth in retail if we do. There are very few real players in the AI industry in retail. And we got to, you know, at the end of the day, we probably know this better than most at this stage, because it's fairly early days. But we do it because we're not getting distracted by other things. Everything for us is about e-commerce. How do we make that better for our retailers? So I think that's where the real depth comes from me. The AI itself has to be deep. Shallow AI will cause more business problems than doing no AI.
Right.
Okay. Bad results are not a good idea.
Yeah.
And AI is very capable of lying. So everyone's using, I asked ChatGPT if an NDA was fit for purpose, and I'd already put a clause in there to say that, by the way, we will steal all your IP and we own it and you own nothing. And it said, yeah, it's great. It's a great NDA. And
it's really not. Right. Yeah. No, good example.
Really do have to go deep if you want to go at all, I think, with AI. But the trick is,
so when you're going deep in your retail part, who are the partners that you sort of work with and that in this sort of ecosystem from a technology point of view, and I guess investors?
Yeah. Probably the biggest partnering we've done is with e-commerce agencies and e-commerce consultancies and the experts in the field who are looking for good things for their customers. The good thing about technology these days is we're on all the tech platforms. So we're on, you know, Shopify and BigCommerce and WooCommerce and all those guys. But we actually don't need a relationship to be on them. So we're building relationships on them, but we don't need the relationship in order to do everything we do, which is really nice. So you don't have to put the effort in there. Best effort for us is actually the e-commerce experts, because they're the ones who are setting the agenda for retailers and helping retailers think through some of the problems and how to solve them. So that's where we probably spend most of our time on, from a partnership perspective.
And investors, what sort of investors have you got? What sort of industry experts or finance and that are you getting at the moment? What's your sort of perspective on those?
Yeah, so we've taken in just private investment really at the moment. Apart from we have some money in from Enterprise Ireland as well, which if you know Enterprise Ireland, they're the largest seed investor by number of deals globally. And they're there to support Irish industry. Our private investors, we have a handful of them who are very active. So we've got one especially who's extremely deep global retailer. I can't go in exactly with yes. you wouldn't thank me to do that. But we also have people from the finance perspective and from we CEO of airline leasing, which is said, well, that's a completely different industry. But if you're, we need good operational thinkers. And so to have a COO from an industry that's very complex from a finance perspective is really interesting. So, so we've been very lucky with our investors so far. Right. Got some really good active people. We've loads of silent people as well. They're just happy. And a lot of those are retailers, but they're, they want to put some money into something that's retail and something that they get fired up by. But
And very, very much my background has been around corporate venturing. And I've been a great advocate of making sure that large corporates or organizations, they put some bets in and get involved and start looking at what organizations like yourselves are on the leading edges of these sort of changes, because then that sharing of ideas and that sharing of what you're doing, and it's, oh, that's interesting, could we apply to our business, and vice versa, I think is so important, that communication. That's a great point. And performance measures, how are you sort of tracking your traction with customers, that you're achieving your investment goals and sort of stuff like that? What sort of thing as a CEO and founder do you?
Yeah, so look, I guess for us, it comes down to some very simple stuff. Like, it's about how much business are we closing? What's the total license that we're bringing in from our own perspective? And anyone at our stage, the major outgoings for you are always going to be salary and marketing and all that good stuff. For our retailers, to make sure this works, probably the two main metrics they look at are conversion and average order value. Okay, but there's one other thing we look at, which is the most important thing in our business, is how automated are we? So our job is to get things running very, very fast with very little effort for our customers. So we've put huge effort into making sure that they actually need to do no work to consume our technology. That's not trivial. So the kind of people we're replacing, we get asked, can you do this? And go, yeah, why are you asking that question? Because I thought you already had somebody. Oh, yeah, well, the problem is that our development company, and went, hang on a second, why do you have a development company to do that? That doesn't make sense anymore. So actually, that's a huge driver of our business, because it allows us to work with much smaller retailers and much larger retailers, because we can be, we don't have to disrupt what they're currently doing. So it allows us to scale both directions. And it means that we don't need, a data scientist involved in every implementation. That's not sustainable.
Yeah.
So we have to build a system that just works. And that's really critically important for us.
Yeah, no, that's a fantastic point, actually, around your process sort of side. And I'm seeing that now within other AI businesses and no-code businesses. There's a different approach to that development and implementation. And at the summit, we'll have Andy Bruce from Soft Tools, who's an AI and Microsoft sort of platform, and he'll be giving case studies on Coca-Cola implementation and the operational excellence sort of side. But I think that's part of this transformational part, which is going to require a mindset in the change of the customer and that as well, isn't it?
It really does. Yeah. Like, there's the, everybody loves building their own, and it's not a great thing to do. And what I always say to people is, if you build it yourself, how are you going to learn? The only way you're going to learn is going to conferences and hope that the person on stage is telling the truth.
Yeah.
Whereas I learn every day from every customer, and every customer gets to take advantage of that. So I think the mindset has got to change. But I think it is changing. In all fairness, I think, especially the industry we're in, retailers are pretty proactive about doing things. They tend to be quite straightforward to work with.
Yeah. No, excellent. Alan, it's fantastic getting those insights, and we look forward to discussing more in person in Henley on the 28th of September.
Excellent, Andrew. Really looking forward to it. I'll see you there.
Do please give a 5-star like and subscribe to future interviews.